Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
June 4th, 2024, it's the go-home for NXT Battleground coming up this Sunday. This is the Wrestling Inc. podcast. I'm Dan Rubenstein, joined by George Noga. George, come on. The people are here waiting for a show.
Dude, I'll do anything for some of this stuff, dude. Like, some of this stuff is so cool. Like, is this, it? Like, old-school blue Rockers t-shirt? Or how cool would it be to have that Texas Tornado t-shirt?
I mean, are there sea monkeys in the back? Can I sell grit and earn a bike? Like, what are the options?
Yeah, all the above. They got these plastic. Look at this badass demolition plastic cup. And it's only $4.95.
You think it's safe to drink out of?
Oh, I would totally do that. Although I have this one. I mean, it's not really that fancy, but I got like this old school. Look at this old school Andre the Giant plastic cup.
Nice.
Look at that. That's pretty cool, huh? You think I can get like $10 on eBay for this?
I mean, have you drank out of it or?
Oh, I wouldn't drink out of this one.
Yeah, probably not a good idea. Anyhow, man, tonight NXT continues to cook, as the kids say. We are going into Battleground this Sunday at the UFC Apex in Las Vegas, Nevada. I'm going to be there, and I'm looking forward to it. It's amazing how between last week and this week, this went from being like, it'll be different, it'll be kind of fun, to like, wow, there's really a lot of stuff that's going to be happening at this PLE.
A lot of firsts.
Yeah, it'll be cool. And tonight, we had Jordynne Grace competing on NXT TV, NXT NA. We'll talk about that and more. Before we hop into things, what's going on in the news?
So last week we talked a little bit about what happened to Georgina. What happened to that storyline with Gigi Dolin and Ariana Grace? But apparently Fightful Select reported that as of now, her storyline with Ariana Grace has been dropped. It's not yet clear why the decision has been made on why it's been dropped, but I guess that kind of gives us a little bit of closure on what happened to it. What happened to it? I don't know, but it does seem like it's not going to be there. There's no reason for us to wait around for the next chapter of the story, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
It's so interesting, though, because, look, Gigi has been in NXT for a while. It's been clear that they've tried a lot of different things with her, right? She was in Toxic Attraction. Then when that breakup happened, then she was pure babyface, fan favorite against JC Jane. They stuck with that for maybe 2 weeks, and then she went back to being more of a tweener. They've tried to put her in a variety of storylines. I think that whatever they're going to do with her next, it would just be good storytelling to have her show up 1 week as Ariana Grace's creation. It's taken a while. And then at the end of the match, be like, you know what? Screw this. And come back as quote unquote herself against Ariana, have a nice feud. I mean, maybe they're just weren't counting on the fact that Ariana is like an enhancer for every segment that she's in. Like, you want to see her on TV every time she does something. It's great. And they're thinking, you know what? We can't tie her down with the storyline. We just need to deploy her because she makes for good television.
What's crazy to me in some ways that the storyline has just apparently been dropped really out of nowhere. Yeah. I would think they would at least try to give some kind of closure, even if it wasn't working for them. They can at least maybe just shut the door. That way people don't have to be wonder anymore as far as what's happening. We used to see that a lot with the old regime. We saw a lot of characters get introduced. You know, somebody like a Mordecai would come in, and then a week or two later, he's gone. Somebody like a Palmer Cannon or a Kazarni. I mean, maybe these are more so characters, but it, they're, you know, stories derived from just characters and stories derived from characters. But at least, you know, it's just weird. I thought that was something that we would see. It was something that we saw a lot more previously. So just to kind of reiterate, I'm a little surprised that we at least didn't see some kind of, well, you know, it's not working, so let's just wrap it up and then move on to the next thing.
I mean, even Emelina, which was teased for 6 months, she showed up and she was like, nope, I'm going back to Emma. Like, in a weird way, that was an amazing payoff. Mm-hmm. But this, they could do this so easily in storyline. It's disappointing that it hasn't happened. I hope Gigi's okay. I hope there's no, you know, she's battling an illness, injury. Like, I hope she's all right. But I miss, I think the storyline was really good for her.
I'm kind of curious, obviously, with kind of, we've had a week to kind of simmer all these fantasy stories that we can happen in our head coming out of the Jordan Grace thing. I'm really curious, and we can talk a little bit more about it during the show, but if TNA is going to be some ways kind of be treated as the maybe the ECW of NXT, where we, you know, 96, 97, we would see like random people show up in ECW, you know, Jerry Lawler, Jake Roberts, just kind of these random guys show up there and maybe even have matches for their pay-per-views.
Yeah.
If they're going to treat it in any ways that's saying like, hey, we don't really have anything for you here. Maybe we'll send you to TNA and do something there. Obviously her, I don't know if they're engaged, but I know they're going out. Her and used to be known as Nash Carter. What's his other kid? Oh, Zachary Wentz. Going out her real, I think they're engaged actually. Her fiance, obviously part of the Rascals, is that something that maybe can be incorporated as far as maybe like a loaner system, you know, maybe Gigi Dolan going over to TNA for a little bit and maybe coming, maybe let's being like a female Rascal.
Let's not refer to it as a loaner system. like you're renting a video game or checking out a book from the library.
I don't know, man. The possibilities are endless, as I guess is my point.
But no, interpromotional booking I think is cool, and we saw some seeds tonight that maybe we'll get followed up on soon. But yeah, who knows, you know, at Battleground I will pop if they want to just do something even backstage where Gigi's trying on some ridiculous outfit that Ariana's chosen for her, and then she starts beating up Ariana, and I will be like, aha, HBK Booker of the Year, you're a genius. That's all it takes too. That's all it takes.
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because it can take like 10 or 15 seconds from a show just to kind of explain so much. And I think that's what's kind of missing a lot in the other place on Wednesdays, where it's like it's something so simple that can be explained. So and like it doesn't even have to take up too much TV time. Just a simple, I don't like you. I don't like you either. And then boom, instead of just maybe some random match.
Yeah, I know. I'm with you, man. So coming up tonight at the end of the show, we're going to talk about our picks for Battleground. We're going to run down the card and give our predictions over who's going to come out victorious in each match. But before we get into NXT, what else is going on in the news?
So if anybody's been wondering where Brooks Jensen has been, I'm going to give you a little backstage update. Fightful Select says that Brooks is still with the company. They say that because a little under a week ago, he put up his email on his Twitter and said, hey, for bookings, this is where you can find me. And usually that's a sign of I just got released or I, you know, asked for my notice and you can book me using using this email. So we saw him do that. And a lot of people were speculating that Brooks Jensen is gone, but he is still with the company. He put up another tweet after that kind of saying, like, what are we doing with this sexy red thing? You know, obviously, you know, a lot of twerking involved and whatnot, kind of to that jazz. But it kind of goes into, I guess we could talk about it now because it didn't really happen on NXT TV. But I did think it was kind of funny at some point. They came back from commercial on tonight's NXT and they were like, oh, that was weird. They just kind of referenced it, but they didn't say exactly what. I go on social media and apparently Brooks Jensen comes out and has a little maybe shouting fest alongside shouting at Vic Joseph, that can kind of maybe lead to something. It looks like, obviously, it looks like it's all a gimmick. I'm not going to sit there and try to act like as if he's really not happy with his WWE status. But it looks like they're going to play into some maybe a little work shoot aspect of it, as far as maybe saying certain things that he's not too happy with the creative aspect of NXT, I guess you can say.
Well, and it's interesting because isn't Briggs doing something similar?
I don't know what they're doing to Briggs, to be honest with you.
No, but Josh Briggs was
I know what they're doing, but like I don't get it, I guess you can say. Like I'm like, oh.
Isn't Josh Briggs already been misreading it? Because I confused the names, but I feel like Josh Briggs also is disgruntled.
I mean, he's disgruntled, but I just can't get what direction they're heading or going to from that.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know. It's interesting. I'm glad he's still employed. I think people like when you stray the boundaries of what's real mm-hmm. and what's not. It's neat. Neat you showed up and yelled tonight. That's cool. But we'll see.
So speaking of the TNA relationship, Booker T was talking about on his show about the relationship with WWE and TNA. He was saying, "An expected entry. I'm serious, man. When she came out, obviously Jordynne Grace, I didn't know she was going to be there at all. It was a surprise to me, a shock to me, just like it was for Roxanne Perez." Which, if that is 1,000% true, I think that is one of the coolest aspects of pro wrestling when you had Roxanne in the ring, really had no idea who her opponent was going to be. I'm just going to say, I think that's really cool. And I was talking about Jordynne Grace at the Royal Rumble, how good of a job, and she fit right in. She looked like she really belonged. You know, we all agree. So just obviously Booker T just kind of going on about the cool part of business when you have two companies working together, especially when you have one company really, really a distant number one. And TNA, and the thing about TNA is they're not trying to pretend like they got the best wrestling, they got the best shows, they got the best this. They have a really good women's division, to be honest with you. But yeah. There's a lot of good things that can happen. Going back to the ECW thing, ECW had a lot of talent that WWE was interested in, even to the point where they used ECW when you had guys like Al Snow or even some guy like, who's that Russian guy? Not the Russian guy, the German guy that they were building in Brackus. They had Brackus and all these vignettes for Brackus. And then they had him go to ECW for a little bit and, you know, he ended up getting fired because he ended up not being good. But it can really be a win-win for both companies. And I'm hoping that this means good things for TNA. You know, we can all do a little fantasy booking, like I mentioned before. I'd love to see AJ Styles go in and win a TNA championship one more time. I'd like to see the New Day go into TNA and win the TNA tag titles just to kind of solidify their GOAT status. You know, a lot of cool possibilities when it comes to this relationship between WWE and TNA.
It's interesting. I am not a cynical man, but I will say that WWE needs to be getting something out of this. Jordynne Grace, it was reported, is making like six figures for this.
I don't believe that at all. I don't believe that at all.
But like Triple H, you question the reporting.
Yeah, I think
you're going to be sending a cheese plate, sir.
I think if that's the case, then maybe Floyd Mayweather really did get $20 million for his match at WrestleMania 24.
I don't know. But WWE's getting something out of this more than an opponent for Roxanne Perez. I would be curious. I was looking into Anthem as a company. I was looking into their revenue and financials and all the things they have a hand in. And it wouldn't shock me if TKO saw value and said, we want to buy, you know, even a 10% stake or a minority stake and expand the empire. I think with NXT going to CW, that's great. That's going to really solidify NXT as a third brand. I do think Level Up is going to get expanded to an hour, but I do think we're going to need an in-between. And that could end up being NXTNA.
Yeah, I did think that was interesting that Jordynne Grace had that in the back of her jacket. I don't know. Like I said, it creates all these cool possibilities. Obviously, we're not going to see any kind of AEW TNA, I guess maybe partnership like we used to see back in the day when we would see Kenny Omega show up and become Impact World Champion. So maybe those days are long gone. But you know, and especially with the NXT. NXT is what I kind of consider still a developmental brand. There was a lot of, and we're probably going to see it a lot more now that the match has been made official. A lot of, and again, I try not to talk about AEW too much on this specific show because I'll leave plenty of my energy for that for tomorrow. But a lot of you know, Ethan Page kind of comes into to NXT and gets an automatic title match. I think that's okay just because it's still in some ways a developmental bet. It's still kind of a regional promotion, right? Kind of, you know, kind of like, well, the, you know, the Florida promotion.
Since Stand and Deliver, yes. But it wasn't before. And I do think when they get to that, I think they want to get it back to the same level it was at this spring before it goes to CW. I think they don't want it to feel as developmental. Right now, we're seeing kind of the on-the-job training, the work in progress of this current class. They're juniors, but they're going to be seniors soon, you know, when it goes to the CW. And I do think Level Up is such an afterthought for even WWE. So I don't know. We'll see what happens. Again, this is just speculation on my part, but thinking about it, like, how is WWE getting their back scratched in this? Like, they don't need goodwill right now. You know, they're not doing this just to be charitable to TNA. So we'll see what happens. We'll see what develops. But that's just
there's a lot of talent in TNA that maybe can be good. And even to the point where another one of the stories is Jordan Grace, in an interview, said that she'd like to see Moose go into the WWE. He's one of those guys that has never really wrestled. I'm sure he's got a look before. I'm not going to sit there and act like that's, you know, they don't know who Moose is. I'm very certain that they know who Moose is. But he's kind of been a TNA loyalist for the last decade or so. So just to kind of go on what Jordan Grace is saying, she was saying, the only message I got about that was Moose. He called me and he was like, why didn't you tell me you were doing this? I was like, Moose, you have the biggest mouth out of anyone I know. That would have gone out 5 minutes after I told you. You should tell Shawn Michaels that I want to come over, is what Moose was saying about, you know, to Jordan. And she was like, yeah, I'll go ahead and do that, Moose. So we'll see. It looks like Jordan Grace has put in a good word for Moose, and maybe we'll see him maybe in the summertime for Heat Wave. Who knows? Anything can happen. We saw the TNA Knockout Champion. Maybe it's only a matter of time before they see the TNA World Heavyweight Champion show up on NXT.
Yeah. And by the way, I mean, Ethan Page is getting slotted into a title shot, but it's to lose still. Like, this is not, you know, if they were hotshotting the championship onto him, I'd be like, that's odd. But I'm pretty certain Trick is walking out as champ of the Apex.
We'll pretty talk certain about it in our prediction.
Okay. Anything else in the news?
No, we can get right into the program.
Yeah, we can. So tonight, coming to you live from the Capitol Wrestling Center in Orlando, Florida, which I still think, if this show at the Apex goes well, I think we're going to have a TKO Performance Center East in Orlando and TKO Performance Center West in Las Vegas.
That'd be interesting.
Yes. But we open tonight with Jordan Grace, TNA's own Knockouts champ, getting a match against the in-ring return of one Stevie Turner, who got in more offense than I thought she was going to get in this match.
It looks like the presentation is still the same as far as when she was that vlogger. So maybe there's hope. Yeah, so it looks like there's still a little hope that they didn't drop that character completely. But obviously, this match was exactly what it was going to be. There was no way that Jordan was going to lose this match. It was more of an exhibition, you know, a showcase match for Jordan Grace. And it was everything it needed to be in just 5 days before her big match with Roxanne Perez. We saw Roxanne on commentary. I think she, to me, she's not, I'm not fully bought in on her as a heel, but she's doing a really good job. If that makes sense. I'm trying not to contradict myself. I'm saying I'm not fully bought in, but I'm getting there.
Yeah. I think that Jordan, I think she comes across as too likable. Actually, I'll say that I was very surprised that she did not come across like a Nia Jax or, okay, someone, you know what I mean? She didn't come across like, oh, she's mean, she's big, she's bad, she's going to beat you down without a care. Like, she looks friendly and approachable. Like, she's buff as hell. And I loved when Stevie went to do the moves and Jordan didn't move. That was great how they sold that tonight. Mm-hmm. She looks dominant, but I mean, Roxanne's a heel.
Yeah.
So Jordan is a baby face. The baby face, I guess giant is the class they would call her in WWE 2K24. and Roxy as a cruiser, because, you know, according to Triple H, that's good booking. Mm-hmm. Don't book two people of the same class against each other, or you will get chastised, unless they're both specialists, which is why I've lost specialists on my 2K24 my GM roster. But no, I think that Jordan is the babyface in this match. I think the crowd's going to be going crazy for her, and Roxanne's going to win, and it's going to just elevate Roxanne.
Yeah, I mean, that's one possibility. I'm going to get into my prediction later tonight. I with that said, just because, I mean, it happened during the show, I really like that backstage segment with Jordan and some of the other NXT women. It really amplified a lot of how great this NXT women's division is. It was able to showcase all their personalities. You have Sol Ruka come in, you have Ariana Grace, and I love that little, like, hey, we have the same last name, but we're not related. Just that was just great. That's what I mentioned earlier, like, just 5 seconds, that's all I need. And just to be, because I know if I was a kid, I'd be like, wait, are they related? So it's even though we're all adults, and, you know, they you know, book for us just for a little bit, I still like that element that it just takes 5 seconds just to get that closure out of the way. Hey, we're both Grace, but yeah, we're not, you know, we're not cousins or anything like that. That's all I need.
I think that would have been better, actually. I think it would have been better
if they were related.
If Ariana was like, oh, it's my cousin Jordan Grace. I would have popped for that. I like when things like that happen. What was the sitcom where they did? Well, on King of the Hill, they had it. So Hank's cousin was Dusty Hill from ZZ Top. When he guest starred, like, that was smart. But I like when they do that. I like when they do connections between people with the same last name.
Was Eugene's last name Bischoff, or was it Eric's sister that had the kid, therefore it'd be Eugene some other last name?
But I always pop for that. I like that. But let's talk about Stevie Turner, because the comeback tour begins now. They gave her airtime later in the show. I think that means something. I think we're getting something. Which is great, because she is absolutely awesome. They use the streamer intro video, but her look was different. She wasn't wearing, like, her futuristic gear. I think that, look, and I'm not going to complain, because she has been largely absent from NXT TV for like a year and a half, aside from a few one-off appearances. But I think that she's changed her look. She expressed and emoted very well in the ring, and that is an underrated quality in selling, is that it's not just about going, oh, that hurts. It's about how your facial expressions. And I think that she comes across larger than life. Like, she checks all the boxes, but I do admit that I miss that pseudo futuristic gear, similar to that faction that she was in as Bobby Tyler, that was in Stardom. She was in for a little while. Can't remember what they were called. They were really cool. Look up the footage. It's escaping me. But I think that Stevie came out of this okay. It's not. Yes, we're going to get. We are going to get the reboot.
I think so, too.
I'm excited.
If there's one thing that I do have faith in all of pro wrestling more than anything else, it's the NXT women's division.
Yes. I think she's gonna be the top of it, or at least at the middle. Tokyo Cyber Squad. That was the faction that Bobby Tyler was in with Hannah Kimura.
The TCS.
They were cool. Cool theme, cool look. Yeah. And I think the streamer gimmick is over, which means, well, maybe we'll find out. Maybe we will find out she was NXT Anonymous. I thought that was gonna be the end game for Stevie Turner.
Was she using that gimmick in NXT UK?
It was, I don't think she was a streamer, but I think it was the same look. But good opening match, not an outright squash. And Jordan Grace is over. Maybe the outcome is unpredictable Sunday. We'll discuss in our picks at the end of the show. But Roxanne slid into the ring, faced off with Jordan Grace. Went to shove her. Grace stayed on her feet and then shoved Perez, and then Perez escaped. We had some backstage stuff with Lash Legend, Jakara Jackson, Trick Williams approaching Legend, looking for Ethan Page.
driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We had Sean Spears running the Chairman's Charter School, which is what I've determined the name of this faction should be. It'll be just them versus Chase U. That'll be the entire collegiate wars, the education wars in NXT. What do you think about this for Sean Spears? Do you think this is too similar of a gimmick that he's trying to mentor and teach the lost souls?
No, I mean, I think this is probably works best for him. He's at that stage where, you know, clearly he's never going to be the WWE or the World Heavyweight Champion.
Bite your tongue.
Yeah, I'm just a small prediction. But yeah, like I mentioned before, he does have that teaching ability. He's got his own school, Flatbacks, out in Florida. So that mentor aspect of it, and I like the fact that he's a heel. You know, I think that best suits him. Obviously, I don't think we're going to see the perfect 10 gimmick anytime soon. It's something for him to do. I think it's great that he's got a little, you know, his gurus under him, I guess you can say, or his minions under him. I think one of those guys was Fit Finley's kid.
Hmm. They looked riveted. I love Javon Evans rolling his eyes.
So one of the kids... One of Finley's kids is in what, New Japan, and one of those other kids was right there under the Sean Spears learning tree.
Yeah.
Am I allowed to say that here?
Sure.
Okay.
So Josh Briggs walked in, interrupted. Spears said he's a lost soul, and they found themselves in verbal confrontation.
I don't get it. I don't know what they're doing with Briggs. He's still there, and I mean that means there's still hope for him.
I'm still hoping for the Briggs and Brooks reunion.
With no Fallon.
Yes. Here's the problem I have, and this is why I confuse them, and this is why I confuse who's in what storyline when I read their names. For 2 years on this podcast, we referred to them as Brooks and Dunn, and I couldn't remember which one was which.
I mean, obviously the best thing about Brooks and Briggs was that Kiana James story that they had, because it really was able to showcase the ability beyond the wrestling for everyone involved. But you know, I don't
know. Sean Spears should reveal himself as Sebastian. Sebastian Spears.
All I want in life. This is the only thing I want in life. At some point, because, you know, Shawn Michaels is you probably know where I'm going with this. Shawn Michaels, obviously the head of NXT. Shawn Spears to come out and super kick Shawn Michaels and just be like, see, I just kicked Shawn.
That's all you want?
Yeah, that's all I want as revenge. I think that was, Survivor Series 2006, maybe?
Oh, yeah.
When he kicked Stan.
That's all I want.
18 years later, Sean Spears get his revenge on Shawn Michaels.
I want, and they should have done this. They should have, before Stevie Turner retires the hacker gimmick, they should have had her hack into a computer and be like, whoa, so that's who really attacked Tadeo Itami. Oh, that's who Sebastian was. You know, she knows all the secrets. Like the end of The Rock. the movie The Rock, not the wrestler The Rock.
No.
So, okay, Booker hosted a summit for the competitors in the NXT Women's North American Championship ladder match. They were not sitting on ladders. They were sitting on stools, unlike that awesome Money in the Bank promo from 2016 or 17.
Yeah.
Yeah. But of course, this ended up devolving into chaos. What'd you think before that?
Once again, I was able to see why Jada Parker is the absolute future of the women's division. She, in my opinion, absolutely stole the show when it came to being on the mic. She just is so comfortable there. I cannot wait to see how she evolves in the next year or two.
Yeah. I mean, they were all great. I think I'm going to have a tough time. I thought I knew who was winning this match, but based on how tonight's show ended in that main event, I don't know who's winning on Sunday. We're going to talk about it. But this was a good promo. I think I'll be happy with any of these women walking away with that NXT North American Women's Championship.
I wouldn't say any of them. Any of like them. I'd be happy with like three of them, but not three.
Well, you got 50-50 odds then. There you go. But we went from that to Thea Hale versus Jasmine Nix, and Duke Hudson refused. Members of Chase U refused, aside from Andre Chase and Ridge Holland, refused to be out there.
Are we not going to see any more in classroom skits?
I don't know, man.
Are those done?
I mean, if it feels, I understand. I mean, JC Jane was back later tonight. We'll talk about that. But, you know, we talked about this a couple weeks ago. NXT's had this weird habit lately of just dropping abruptly storylines as if we're just supposed to forget this was a thing, you know?
Are we not going to see any more teachable moments?
We should. Well, I'm telling you, especially now Sean Spears is getting in the game. You know, the for-profit university game is big in Florida.
That's what I hear.
Yeah. So, we'll see, but tonight, this match, man, Jasmine Nix getting the win. How are you feeling about Thea Hale and how the way her career is going?
Slow burn, obviously. No rush. She's, what, 19, 20 years old?
She's so good.
She's really good. I saw a video of her, I think, over the weekend doing, like, gymnastics, like a handspring back, get back, flip, spin, corkscrew, and I'm like, well, I need to see a little more more of that gymnastics fill in the ring. I think that's kind of a cool element to throw into her character. Yeah, I mean, I there's no rush. Obviously, she had that match like a year ago, sorry, a year and a half ago with Mandy Rose, where she was wrestling for the championship.
Was it Tiffany Stratton?
Maybe. She had that women's championship match like about a year ago, a year and a half ago. Yeah, I mean, I didn't think she was winning. And like I said, there's no rush for her. To see where she's going to be at in a year or 2 years. Not to say that she's not ready for any of that kind of spotlight, but like I said, it's a dime a dozen that division. So for Thea Hale to be, you know, maybe losing some matches still, I really don't think there's anything wrong. There's no downhill projection for her. It's just all going to be uphill, and she's such a great character too.
Could you imagine if NXT did like their version of like Marvel's Secret Wars? They did it like with Gimmick Wars. And it's like you had Thea Hale versus Brinley Reese. There can be only one.
Throw in a what's her name? Carly Bright? Is that her name?
Oh, yeah, yeah. And it's like, okay, now the deal is, I mean, you're not like fired if you lose, but you got to come up with an entirely new gimmick.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, just speaking, so that of, way, speaking yeah. of gimmick change, we'll get into it in a little bit. Yeah. That I'm really excited to see.
Yeah, I feel like Brinley a little bit with Thea, because this is why Thea needs Chase U. That's her storyline. That's her identity. If you remove her from that, it's like, I don't know, Brinley is already like Thea without Chase. Like, we need stories. This is why stories are important. Gimmicks, context is everything. I like Carly Bright, though.
She's got that school spirit.
Yes. Yes, she does.
But was it Carly Bright? She was a cheerleader, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it's a little too similar.
I mean, kind of, sort of. Well, cheerleader, gymnast, I don't know.
I'm just curious on how long has Thea Hale been there? About a year and a half, just about, right?
No, she's been on TV since, I feel like she was early 2.0. They did the thing where she announced she was going to Chase U. Like, that was early in Chase U.
I was just gonna mention I'd like for them to incorporate more the university aspect like they did early on.
I know.
Is she a freshman? Is she a sophomore? Is she a head on units? Is she scheduled to graduate in about a year?
What are student loans look like?
Yeah,
interest rate. Are they forgiven? Who knows?
1,000%. I really would like for them to incorporate that aspect of more, because we saw that a lot. We saw that a lot early on.
That would be amazing. That should be when she leaves Chase U. She's like, Mr. Chase, this interest rate you're charging me is BS.
Yeah.
Like,
and she goes talk to the bank. And then we have enter a banker. We'll go say calls up
Kiana James.
Kiana James.
Yeah, and is like, help me refinance this. And Kiana's like, or she goes to Ariana Rizzo, mm-hmm. you know, and she's like, I'll give you a loan at a better interest rate. By the way, we
just booked like 2 years for Thea Hill.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. And then like if she beats Rizzo, the loan's paid in full. She's wrestling to pay off her student loans. This is perfect. Mm-hmm. This is good. By the way, in Gimmick Wars, we're also going to have Gallus versus Hank and Tank. There can be only one. And then the winner of that match has to face each other to be the sole person with that gimmick. So we'll either end up with Hank or Tank or one member of Gallus.
One coffee brother.
Yes, because no more diluting gimmicks. You know? I think this is good. I think I'm onto something with this. I think they do this before they go to CW. And that's the NXT that goes to CW. Everyone else goes to NXT NA.
Yeah.
And WWE cuts another streaming deal for... You know, Roku or Hulu or Paramount Plus. I don't know. We'll think about it. We'll make it work. We got some details to work out. But yes, Thea Hale needs to wrestle to get her student loan forgiven. Oh, man. Okay. So, but yeah, Jasmine Nix didn't need this win. I like Jasmine Nix, but come on. Like,
her character is way too similar, in my opinion, to Izzy Dame. The only difference is the hair color.
Gimmick Wars. There can be only one. That will be Jasmine Nix versus Izzy Dame. One of them gets the gimmick. I think we're onto something here. Yeah. So we have Ethan Page negotiating with Ava. Mr. Stone approached, said he's got some ideas for the six woman tag match. Did we find out what that idea was?
I think it was just that the six man.
It was just the tag. Oh, I thought there was gonna be like a stip or something, or I don't know. Outside at the merch truck, which I didn't know they had at NXT, but that, I guess that makes sense. Gallus and Anderson attacked Nathan Frazier. Attacked Fraxium.
This is so cool.
Yeah,
you know, it's imagine just being a fan. Like, because as a fan, like all you want as a fan is just access. So kind of seeing this happened right in front of you, it really does add this, like, I want to just always be aware. Oh, I want to be on the outside. I want to be in line, because who knows what I might see. If you're a young fan watching and you're out there buying a t-shirt, this must be the coolest thing out there.
Yeah, I agree. This was a cool segment. We went from that then to Sean Spears brawling with Javon Evans. Briggs didn't come out. Sean was attacking Briggs, and then Javon Evans got into it.
He had a great showing last week, so I like that they're kind of keeping him in the right there in the mix.
Yeah, I was watching him on Level Up, and you knew he had that if factor. This kid,
and he's 19 years old, right?
Well, according to you, if you're that young, you can just lose.
Yeah.
Until you're at least in your mid 20s.
Yeah, look at that. Why do you think it failed for Rene Dupree?
So we then had Tony D'Angelo with the family versus Damon Kemp, part of the NQCC for the NXT Heritage Cup. What was up with Charlie Dempsey backstage? Last week he's saying he wants to be more like Tony D'Angelo, and this week he's imitating De Niro in Taxi Driver.
Not a mafia film. It kind of reminded me of that WrestleMania 21 promo. Remember when they had all the superstars
doing the
You Talking to Me? Yeah. Obviously Batista was the best part of that gimmick, or the best part of that little skit. I can't get over Charlie Dempsey's hair.
Okay.
It's too hairy from Dumb and Dumber. Like, do something with it. I don't know. I'm just not a fan. It kind of throws me off a little bit. Damon Kemp is clearly everything that they thought that Gable Steveson was going to be. But yeah, I mean, at least one of the brothers is still there, and you know, we'll see how it goes for Damon Kemp.
Yeah. Decent match. I like what they did with him missing the bell deadline to get that point. I thought that was a clever way to use the round-based system. Damon Kemp going for the pin too late.
Yeah.
So that was nice. But Tony D'Angelo is still the Heritage Cup champion.
I feel like this is an instance of Tony D'Angelo being too good for the cup.
Yeah. But what are they going to do? They had a chance to make him champion against Dragunov. Mm-hmm.
They had a chance to call him up in the draft.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly it's something for him to do, but I just feel like this something is way below where Tony D'Angelo should be at right now.
Now, he is a very gifted and talented wrestler who's very dominant in the ring. If he wasn't, I could see them saying, hey, let's have a fun thing. Where's the Don of NXT? He's going to start booking his own matches against Ava. But I think they've realized that, like, no, this guy can really go. His character is much larger than life. His character is super over. But the fact that he can, like, wrestle very well is just a huge bonus.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know that he's going to be there when they go to the CW.
You think he'll get called up before then?
This is starting to feel like Finn Balor after NXT in Texas. In 2016, after Stand and Deliver, no, it wasn't Stand and Deliver then, it was just TakeOver,
and then he ended up getting called up in July.
Yeah, like if it's starting to feel actually, all of NXT is kind of feeling like that. This feels very much like 2016, where it's like, okay, we know we're in a period of transition until something happens, only it's not the draft, it's the move to the CW.
Like, that's gonna be huge.
Yeah, it is, it's gonna be good. So, Tony won. Good match.
Tony and Damon Kemp 0?
Yes. 2-0. That's got to hurt the NQCC. Jordan, great moment. This was my favorite non-wrestling moment of the night. Yeah, Jordan Grace and Ariana Grace having that interaction. Jordan Grace talking to Mi Chin, Sol Ruka walking up, Jada Parker interrupting, and Tatum Paxley, who was sitting there gazing at Jordan's TNA Knockouts Championship, which makes me think Paxley's showing up in TNA.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, this was such a well-executed segment for the women's division. And it's crazy because it's something that you don't, at least for me, I did not even notice just how much the women were showcased on today's episode. It's just like so many women, whether it's the video package with Lola and Shayna, whether it's the six women tag for, previously it was a six women, the summit, this backstage segment. It was just, man, they really do have the best women's division in all of pro wrestling.
Yeah. Absolutely. This was delightful. It just showcased so much personality. It was so much fun. It was very well done. And it has me excited for what happens next. Second favorite non-wrestling thing was this video of Lola Vice and Shayna Baszler. What was interesting about it, though, okay, so one, and I tweeted this, I had to capture it. I made an animated GIF. That sequence they had of Shayna Baszler stomping on somebody and they did the x-ray of the bone breaking, her doing the oxygen, or when she was choking somebody out in the clutch, like the oxygen depleting, her kneeing someone in the face and you saw like the jaw shattering. That was it. Like, give that person an NXT production a raise. Like, this was the coolest fatality little sequence. Like, this should be a part of Shayna's entrance video. This was so cool how they did that.
You know how they have like the Emmys and they have like the creative Emmys and the daytime Emmys and, you know, they have Emmys for like the backstage people. I don't know what Emmys those are called.
They're still Emmys. They're technical Emmys.
But they're called technical Emmys?
No, well, they're called Emmys, but it's a it's an Emmy award, but you get a technical. It's a separate ceremony.
Well, because like kind of how they have like the creative Emmys is like a separate ceremony. The daytime Emmys is a separate ceremony. My point is, they should have like a creative technical Slammy award for whoever.
Yes, for whoever.
That's what I'm getting at. The creative Slammy.
Here's my one note on what they didn't do, or if they did, I don't recall seeing it. But what they did with this segment and with Lola Vice, they didn't showcase her MMA background. Because the thing that I think is most impressive about her, if you were like, how are we supposed to take her seriously that she's a badass when she's shaking it in the ring, go watch her fights in Bellator when she was doing the same thing, but she had headgear and gloves on and like just knocked somebody out and then was dancing.
Well, I think you just kind of mentioned on why we didn't see any MMA footage in this package.
Well, I know, but they could have recreated something. They could have done something. Like, I think that's remarkable because I've heard people actually criticize. They're like, oh, she's a legit fighting badass. Why do they have her dancing? It's like, yeah, she was doing that.
Yeah, she would literally twerk right after she would knock somebody out. And that's kind of what put her on the map a little bit, is be like, oh, did you hear that? Did you see that girl twerk? You know, and that's essentially how Valley Laredo got put on the map.
There was that one map where she was like, follow me on Instagram.
Yeah.
After she like beat somebody up. She's awesome. I'm excited for this match.
I am too. I can't wait for my predictions.
Yes, for the NXT Underground match. I'm really excited to see what they do with the UFC Apex. I don't think this is all happening in the Octagon.
I am curious. I mean, again, I have no idea what the size of the place is. I don't know if they're
going to small from the fly through they did.
Are they tearing down the Octagon? First off, is the Octagon always there? You know,
I don't know.
Is it ever put down? So we'll see. I mean, I think it would be kind of cool if it is still up while the ring is still up, and then it goes into the. But then again, the whole aspect of the Underground is just everybody kind of being around the ring and that aspect of it. So maybe we're not going to see anything in the cage.
Yeah, I don't know. I got my ticket. I'll be there. It's going to be good. But yeah, this promo video was really, really good. Then we had Natalya with Carmen Petrovic. Carmen Petrovic got injured at a house show versus Izzy Dame.
Uh-huh.
And Natalya getting the win.
Yeah, it was just kind of there. I like that they did kind of mention that we saw on Raw last night, Kiana James versus Natalya. So now that we're seeing Izzy Dame going up against Natalya and Natalya getting W. I already said what I thought about Izzy Dame. She reminds me too much of Jasmine Nix. So yeah, I think she needs to kind of maybe hit a refresh. Not a refresh, but a redo on her character, because she does seem a little lost without Kiana James right now.
Yeah. Then we went from that. We had Tyreek Igwe and Tyson DuPont make their way down to the ring. Gallus attacked them, and then we got a promo from Gallus.
Which is the one that was talking Joe Coffey?
I can't tell them apart.
Well, I'm going to say the best part was when he was twerking out there, kind of mimicking Sexy Red. I mean, he's got a point. You know, what do you got to do to get over? And that's what essentially what it was. We saw Obafemi come out. We saw Wesley come out.
Man, the crowd loves Wesley still.
Yeah. He's another guy where, and I guess I'll get into my predictions in some ways, but I think he's too good for the North American Championship right now.
Yeah. I mean, with Trick, Trick's going to battle Tony D'Angelo, and he's going to battle Wesley. Like, that's obvious. He'll probably end up beating a member of Gallus. But I mean, I think Trick is a big part of their plans for the CW.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll see what happens. But yeah, this Gallus promo was fine. Obafemi looked awesome when he came out. And Wesley, just man, the crowd loves that guy.
Yeah.
But then we had the six woman tag, Lash Legend, Fallon Henley, and Kalani Jordan versus Sol Ruka, Meechin, and Jada Parker. good match. There was a lot going on, but it is crazy to me. I mean, the babyfaces won, I think. Meechin's a babyface in NXT. Jada Parker, for the most part. But it was crazy that Soul got the pin here. Because that's... I'm just going to say it's rare that you win the match on the go-home show and then go on to win the match at the PLE.
Yeah. Does that mean that you don't think Soul's winning?
I thought she was. Now I don't know.
I do agree. It was a little all over the place, just for the simple fact that you had if you ask me right now, because I'm not looking at it in front of me. If you ask me right now, what were the teams? I have no idea, because it was a little faces and heels and faces teaming together. But I liked what I saw. I like Jada mixing it up with Lash Legend. I like Kehlani. I like Kehlani mixing it up with Sol Ruka. Oh my lord!
Yeah.
That's gonna be a match for the ages. Like when those two come up, get one on one. True, that's gonna go. I think that's gonna go. That Ricochet Will Ospreay match is gonna be that level of viral for Sol Ruka versus Kalani Jordan.
This was a really good match. I've been up until last week. The ladder match was the only thing I was super excited about for Battleground. Now they've given me other things to be excited for.
Yeah, so the six woman was fun. It was lots of fun. That kind of what's the move called? The soul
snatcher.
The soul snatcher it was kind of like a snow snatcher out of nowhere. I don't know if they're gonna do that, but I doubt it.
It coming. You can kind of see, I mean, she's got to bounce off something.
Yeah, but I mean, what a pop too! What a great. It was just great. I love this.
No, absolutely. Well, we went from this to then the contract signing for Ethan Page with Trick Williams out there. I mean, yeah. sure. Trick really wants them to sign Ethan Page so he can fight Ethan Page.
Yeah.
I wanted to know more of Page's contract demands that he was asking for.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, all he wants is a title match. I thought he wanted a little more than that. I thought Ethan Page was fantastic on the mic tonight. Yeah. Really, really great. To the point where I feel like Trick was a little out of his element. We didn't really see the best of Trick, because I mean, what we've seen in the past when we see the true art of like a promo battle, right? You'll see one person on the mic kill it. And then you'll see the other person try to match it, or at least try to outdo it. This is not the case. And no disrespect to Trick Williams, but I don't think he was really in Ethan Page's class. I felt like he, and again, I don't know how much of it was, scripted or whatnot. But it just seemed like you had Ethan Page cut a great promo. And then you had Trick Williams kind of with his go-to, like, yo, this Sunday, what I'm going to do. And then just kind of, have the crowd finish it off.
It's his catchphrase.
Yeah, but I mean, that doesn't mean that, when you had CM Punk and John Cena go at it, you didn't just have Cena say, well, yeah, oh yeah, well, you can't see me. He fought fire with fire. And I think that's where, you had to have Trick come in and really.
Okay.
I don't think he, I think he kind of struck out when it came to the, fighting fire with whatever it is that he tried with.
It was a good segment for the go home. I am very excited for this match. Let's run down our predictions. I feel like there's many matches I know what's going to happen, but I would love to be proven wrong. Let's also talk about something awesome on this card. Three women's matches, three men's matches.
Yeah. Although my only criticism is I'm not a big fan of it. Seems like nowadays, and they did it as well with the Backlash, or maybe even like the King and Queen of the Ring, is that every match is a championship match except for one.
Okay.
I don't know. I just feel like there's too, in my opinion, I don't think there should be more championship matches than non-championship matches. I feel like that's, I don't know. Maybe it's a sign that there's too many titles. I don't know, but I just there's five title matches and one, I guess you could say, gimmick match. Just give me a good old fashioned one on one grudge match every now and then, you know?
True. I mean, I don't know. I'm not upset or disappointed. I think they're going to add something just to, all this is like all killer, no filler. Looking at this here. So let's talk about this. Trick Williams versus Ethan Page. Who do you think is winning?
This is tough because I'm going to tell you who's going to win the match. Okay. It's going to be Ethan Page.
Really?
However, by disqualification.
Oh. Because
you
gonna, wait, Trick's going to DQ himself?
Trick's going to DQ himself at some point. Maybe Ethan Page goes for some kind of foreign object and, you know, ref doesn't see it. Trick grabs it and then he strikes Ethan Page with it. I just don't see Ethan Page coming in and just being 0-1 right off the bat. I feel like it gives him an out to be 1-0 against a champion. He wins a couple matches between now and Heat Wave, and then he ends up going to Heat Wave in front of his home province. It's not his hometown, but home province. Is that what it is?
Sure.
Sure. I try to be more specific than home country. I feel like that's where we're going to see the big match. That's
Ontario. Really... His home province is Ontario.
Yeah, so he's from Ontario. I think he's from Hamilton, Ontario. That's what I want
to say.
Ontario
is big. That's like saying, like, in front of Bailey's home state, and she's in Ontario, California, but she's from
San Jose. That's right. That's right. But are you wrong about it? No.
I mean, I don't think Bailey has a personal attachment to Southern California as like, but I'm from here. It's like, you're from San Jose.
But you know those Canadians. I mean, they're excited for the fellow Canadians.
Sure.
Right. So now you're narrowing it down to Ontario, they're going to get even more excited.
Americans aren't that way. We're not like, oh, well, it's an American. We should cheer them.
That's why I will still say Brett screwed Brett.
Okay. So interesting. I think Trick wins clean in this title defense. But what about Fraxium versus the OC, Gallows and Anderson, for the NXT Tag Team Championships?
So I don't think they're going to do too many title changes on this one.
Yeah.
I do think that there will be another title change happening. With that said, I do think Fraxium's going to win this one, especially now that you have this AJ Styles. I know he's been a heel for a little bit, but now he's obviously flipped the switch, and now you're going to have AJ and the OC do a lot more on SmackDown on a regular basis. And I don't think, okay. With that said, I don't think they need the NXT titles for that.
Okay, that's valid. I mean, I think this would be a prime one to switch, but I don't know who wins it off the OC. So I think Fraxium is a good pick. What about Obafemi versus Wesley versus Joe Coffey for that North American championship?
As I mentioned, I do think Wesley is way too good for the North American championship. And, you know, Mark Coffey, I think they're just great hands. I don't think they really have much to do with those guys. With that said, I think Obafemi is going to retain and still be North American champion.
What about the NXT Underground match between Shayna Baszler and Lola Vice?
1,000%, just because she is on such a high trajectory, we're going to see Lola Vice. I just don't see like her losing anytime soon. I think by the end of the year, I wouldn't be surprised if she's NXT Women's Champion, or at least maybe by Stand and Deliver.
What about I think Lola is winning that as well. What about Sol Ruka versus Lash Legend versus Fallon Henley versus Jada Parker versus Meechim versus Kalani Jordan to become the inaugural NXT Women's North American Champion?
There's one person that stands out to me the most, and it's not Meechim. Like I said, everyone else has. Again, I don't mean any disrespect with this. I just feel like with somebody like Fallon Henley and her trying to solidify her heel run, and then you have everyone else that there really is no question where they're at. I feel like Fallon Henley needs this championship to really kind of get this heel run on board. You have Jada that just is, oh my God, I will go on and on about Jada Parker. I just don't think she doesn't need it. She's got that mic to win her over. You have Sol Ruka that just has maybe the best finisher in NXT. She don't need it because she's gonna, you know, get a pop anytime she hits that finish. Mi Chin, I don't see her taking the North American Championship back to SmackDown or whatever brand she's on now. I just feel like Fallon Henley, she needs it a lot more than everyone else, because if she doesn't have it or if she doesn't win this match, then there's really nowhere for her to go.
Wow. That is an interesting theory. I mean, I thought Sol Ruka up until tonight. Until Sol Ruka got the pin tonight. Maybe this surprises us. Maybe it's Lash Legend.
I do think that we're going to see some really, really cool things. Like yeah. Some things we maybe even never even seen before in a ladder match this upcoming Sunday.
Okay.
Which we'll be covering right here on Wrestling Inc., by the way.
Lash would be a very interesting pick.
I do think Lash Legend would be my second pick, just because I'd want to see that kind of element of her having a championship and Trick having a championship. So I think that'd be fun to see on TV.
Yeah. So what about Roxanne Perez versus Jordynne Grace for the NXT Women's Championship?
This one is going to be my title change. I think we're going to see Jordynne Grace become the new NXT Women's Champion and take it to TNA, and Roxanne Perez wins it back on the Slammiversary pay-per-view that's going to be up in July.
Okay, so if that happens, you don't think they're paying her six figures for this run?
She's not getting 30 grand a per appearance.
She's flying to Vegas. That's like a 5-hour flight.
They tape out of Vegas anyways.
Commercial. She has to fly to Vegas.
I'll give her the private jet. Maybe they. I don't even know if that. I'm sure it's still being used. I just can't. I don't believe she's getting 100 grand or even more than that. Like, why would you pay somebody that much when you can get them for less? And you tell me if they didn't offer her 50 grand, she'd be like, no, I'll pass.
NXT got its biggest rating in a while last week. It almost beat Dynamite last week. Mm-hmm. Against sports, NXT got a huge rating last week.
Mm-hmm. But doesn't mean you're going to pay Roxanne Perez 100 grand.
Not Roxanne, Jordynne Grace.
That doesn't mean that I'm going to pay Jordynne Grace 100 grand for like 3 or 4 appearances.
I don't know.
The only way they pay her, because in addition, she's also getting a TNA paycheck as well, is that they sign her to a contract already that starts after her TNA contract expires. Because by all means, I think we can all sit here and say safely that there is no way that Jordynne Grace is not going to be within the WWE within a year after her TNA contract expires.
What does a TNA contract look like? I mean, I'm sure they get a decent wage, but I think the Christmas bonus is like a Subway card that's got like, it just needs one stamp more for a free 6-inch sub. And that's your Christmas bonus in TNA.
I do like Subway, although I just started eating a lot of Firehouse subs. Their like bread subs is they amazing. Make in
firehouses.
Well, I mean, yeah. Their bread is amazing, by the way. Quiznos. Yeah, I think Quiznos. Really? You like a Quiznos?
No, I like Quiznos. Is a nice change of pace. It feels a little fancier.
Subway is like, it's just right next to my house and it's so convenient. They close a lot of Quiznos in LA. They're really hard to find nowadays.
Yeah, Quiznos is not the powerhouse they once were.
There's a lot more JJ's or Jimmy John's nowadays, but...
Yeah, Jersey Mike's.
I'm a big Firehouse Subs guy now.
You're in Southern California?
Yeah.
Yeah, go to Ike's Place.
Ike's? They have a lot of interesting combinations.
Ike's is the best. Actually, after eating at Ike's, every other sandwich is just not worth my time.
Ike's was good. I was just a little overwhelmed with all the options. And I went to Firehouse Subs just because they have free little plastic fire helmets that I was able to give to my child.
Oh, why don't you get a Burger King crown while you're at it?
Yeah. Do they still make them?
Don't they have the Burger King the paper crowns that you?
What do you mean? Do they still have them like literally available to have? Like I just thought they're rare. Yeah, they used to.
I mean, I don't know. That was Burger King's thing.
Like, I mean, you can get an In-N-Out hat very easily.
But I feel you. I understand.
I feel like everybody has that.
I get it. Okay, so here's the real question. What match main events this pay-per-view?
That's a really, really good question. Since I'm going to be consistent, I don't think, because I think Ethan Page is going to win by DQ, that's not going to be the main event. You just can't end a show like that. So obviously, if the match ends a main eventing, then I'm clearly going to be wrong. But if that's the way it goes, I feel like TNA or the Jordan Grace and Roxanne Perez main events.
I think Jordan and Roxanne should main
event. And then the show ends with Jordan Grace winning the NXT Women's Championship.
With Jordan Grace winning, wow.
With her holding up two titles. And I just hope it does. And again, you said it. WWE has nothing to gain. And this isn't a knock on NXT or on TNA. This isn't a knock on WWE. But when you really think about it, WWE doesn't need anybody. There was always chat like, oh, I can't believe they didn't get Okada. I can't believe they didn't get Ospreay and Mercedes. WWE doesn't need anyone. They don't need a single human being. The fact that Roman Reigns is like not even there and they're still doing pretty good business, like they don't need anybody. So with that said, like they don't need to do this with TNA. But I feel like the people in charge really, really understand that they're trying to just have wrestling be fun. And Jordan Grace winning the championship, that's going to make wrestling so much more fun.
Well, let me say this. Photo on Jordan Grace's Twitter. She brought Shawn Michaels a chef's hat that said Chef Michaels. So maybe now Shawn's going to put the title on her.
Maybe. That's funny. So again, it's like you said earlier, I am really, really excited for Battleground. This is going to be such a fun new I really, really, like I mentioned last week, I really hope they get very creative with this Apex thing. I hope they don't treat it like a brand new arena. Like I mentioned last week, I was a big fan of how they shot the old school Shotgun Saturday Nights when they were in like some bar or some like Penn Station or wherever it was, because they were able to get creative. It was just a different element.
Ooh, I just figured something out. Sorry. What if they keep the UFC Apex and Jordan wins because she's used to wrestling in an octagon? And Mi Chin also wins because she was in TNA when they had the octagon ring, the six-sided ring.
Six-sided.
Yeah, so the eight.
Close enough.
You get what I'm saying? Yeah. Six-sided, eight-sided. Point is, Roxanne Perez is only used to four sides.
Yeah.
Strategy.
Although she's had a couple matches in TNA, but I don't think that was a six-sided ring though.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think that would be really cool. As like I said, especially if you had like Roxanne Perez go to Slammiversary. That's kind of one of their TNA's. Bound for Glory, I guess, is their main pay-per-view, but you know, Slammiversary is a pretty big one too. Celebrating over 20 years since they first started, and what better way to celebrate than to have an NXT person come in and win the championship on a TNA pay-per-view.
There are like 30 tickets left at the UFC Apex.
Do you know what like the capacity is?
Not a lot. I mean, I'm looking at this. Like, I got one. I know where I'm sitting.
Is it? I wonder if it's more people than the PC.
Oh, no.
Really? So it's less people than the PC?
Maybe the same. Than
Full Sail?
I'm going to guess this is about the same capacity. What was Full Sail? Like 500? 400?
Maybe. I don't know. I never got a chance to see a show there.
Yeah. This is maybe like a 500 seat venue.
Where's your seat? Where's your ticket? Where's your seat?
I will be near the ramp.
And it's cool because I feel like even with these smaller intimate vibe shows, this every seat is probably gonna be a great seat.
Oh yeah. I mean, and that's why they're expensive. The cheap seats for this were like $150. Only the $250 ones are left.
This has to be a test run, right? For Mania in Vegas to see what they can do here.
If this doesn't sell out by showtime, that's going to be a bummer. But it'll be because the ticket price was too high. I guarantee it will be the ticket price. If these tickets were $50 less per tier, if this started at $100, this would be sold out already. You know? But we'll see. I'm excited. It's gonna be a cool show. I will be there. Look for me in the audience.
Why don't you call in with your live perspective to the Battleground review show here on Wrestling Inc.
Yeah, I'll live stream my reactions.
Dude, I'm all for it. I'm gonna be reviewing it this Sunday. I'm gonna say, hey, wait, what's that? Oh, we got Glenn Rubenstein coming in live from the Apex. Come in, Glenn.
I'm sure Brooks or Jensen or whichever one of them did the thing tonight. I'm sure they'll do a big stunt. There. They'll fly to Vegas to do a big stunt. We'll see. I hope Tony D'Angelo's there.
I hope so too.
I said it. If you know they were selling this upcharge for a private reception with NXT talent. If it was the D'Angelo family host you for an evening of fine Italian foods, I would have paid for that.
I heard there's a place in Vegas, it's like outside of downtown Vegas, where it has that old school mafia feel.
It describes many places in
Vegas. Yeah. But I heard it's to the point where like you have to give like a code word. You don't have to.
Yeah, they do a lot of speakeasy. Oh, that's kind of the thing. There's a lot of venues.
But it's an actual Italian restaurant.
Yeah. There's a lot of venues, including some at hotels, that now do the like, oh, you go behind the bookcase here, and then there's an entire bar.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. It's a neat thing.
I've been looking to go to Vegas one of these days.
Nice. I like it here. Wendy Chu's going to be back next week.
Oh, that's what I forgot. Thank you for reminding me that. What a cool vignette. What a cool segment.
Except they shot this in HD. At what is clearly like her or somebody's apartment. And I was looking at the sink and I was like, you got to clean the calcium buildup off the underside of that sink. But yes, but Wendy Chu's new look is cool.
But what is going to happen? What does that mean?
She's dark.
I admit, so many questions. I'm like, when she looked up and she had like little I was like, dude, that is so cool.
It's cool.
That is so, so cool. I cannot wait to see what they're going to do with her.
It's exciting. Well, tune in Sunday. George will be here breaking it all down. I think with Flobo.
Jack.
Oh, Jack. No Flobo. Jack no and Flobo. Flobo? No Flobo.
Just me and Jack.
Is Flobo coming out?
Just Jack.
No, is Flobo coming out for the show?
I don't know. I don't think so.
I gotta ask him. Okay. We'll find.
Yeah, we should all come out to the show. We should just do a live show from the Apex.
Sure.
That'd be cool.
We'll see. Stay tuned to Wrestling Inc. tomorrow night, AEW. I'll be back Friday for SmackDown. Everybody follow George at G Hermosa on the Twitters, the X. I'm at Glenn Rubenstein. We'll catch you back here next time on the Wrestling Inc. podcast. Take care.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.